Thank you, Rob and guys. Well, good morning, everybody, and just a welcome to any friends and visitors among us. If we omitted that earlier on, you're very welcome. And I'm going to talk today from Corinthians. I've headed up my talk, Treasure to Share. In fact, I was going to bring this word really last week, and towards the end of the week, I felt the Lord had given me something else for last week, but it was in the context of what I was sharing last week. So those which were there will make the link, I'm sure. But I want to read just... Actually, I'm going to read a little bit more than I've got written out here. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we start with a therefore. And you will remember that whenever there's a therefore, we look to see what it's there for. And it goes back to another therefore. And I wasn't quite sure how far to keep going back. So we're just going to start with chapter 4. And you'll have to look back yourself. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Those words are such a challenge to those of us who have seen. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts. Hallelujah. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine in our hearts, so that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. For we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Hallelujah. And he goes on towards the end, so therefore we do not lose heart. I want to share a few thoughts today about treasure. And these verses which we've read tell us that in our hearts there is treasure. Can we have something up on the screen, please? Yeah, thank you. And the next bit. We have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. Jesus told a parable about treasure. And in the parable, he tells us about the story of a man who knew, or he'd found treasure in a field. And the parable, the story says, he sold everything to buy this bit of field, to buy this bit of wasteland, probably. To those who were undiscerning or not in the know, there was no value in this bit of land. But he knew that if he bought the field, he'd get the treasure. And the treasure in this field was worth more than the actual land itself. And so he did all that was necessary to buy the field in order to get hold of the treasure. And there's two ways of looking at this parable. And one is the way Jesus wanted us to look at it. And then I just want to turn it around a little bit. But the way Jesus wanted us to see this parable is, he said, the kingdom of God is like that treasure. And to get hold of the kingdom of God, to get hold of eternal life, to get hold of the reign of Jesus Christ in our lives, to be impacted by his love and power, to know eternal salvation, well, it's worth giving up everything just to get hold of this treasure. That's how Jesus wanted us to see it. There might be a price to pay. There is a price to pay, although he's paid the price anyhow. But Jesus said, that's what the kingdom of God's like. It's like this treasure. Give up everything you can to get the treasure. Amen? And most of us, if not all of us, to some extent at least, have done that. Because we've seen this treasure, this eternal life which God wants to give us. But the other way around, and I was thinking about this too, from Jesus' perspective, whatever the cost, whatever the pain, to redeem mankind, which was his treasure, he thought the price was worth paying. So he endured the cross, he endured the suffering, he allowed himself to be persecuted and tortured, as one song we used to sing say, by the hands of those he had created. He allowed all this, God allowed, Jesus allowed all this nasty stuff to happen to him, the price, the cost, but it was worth it from Jesus' perspective to redeem mankind. You and I are his treasure. He thought it was worth it. He looks across the world. He probably sees 2 billion alive today. And he thinks it was worth going through that. That those who've responded to the gospel can be saved. Amen. So two aspects of treasure. And here Paul tells us God's deposited in our hearts some treasure. It might not always be obvious, but it's in there. And jars of clay, if you like, it's a picture of our humanity, a picture of our ordinariness. And so we look on the outside and we don't look anything special. We're not special from a worldly point of view. But inside there's a treasure which has been deposited. Hallelujah. And those jars of clay, picture of our humanity, sometimes broken, sometimes messed up, sometimes sinful. In the passage we read, Paul describes pressures from within and from without. Some of us will know what that's like. Hard pressed, he says, but we're not crushed. Perplexed and confused, but we're not in despair. Maybe there's financial concerns, marriage relationship pressures. Maybe there's hopes and dreams which have not materialized. We thought we heard the voice of God. We thought we knew what God was saying to us. And it's not worked out as we thought it might do. But the treasure is still in our hearts. Maybe for others of us, we feel let down. We've been let down by our friends. We feel let down by maybe a church in some way or by our family. It can be any number of things. And quite possibly for 2011, economically, this is going to be the hardest year we've faced for quite a long time. Just ordinary jars of clay. But there's a treasure. There's a treasure God has deposited in each of our hearts. And it's treasure to share. Hallelujah. And just as I was re-looking at my notes this morning, I thought, yeah, I just need to add something else to what I was going to say. Because the truth is, all of us who've been born again, we carry this treasure. Can I have a louder amen? We carry this treasure. All of us, because the Spirit has deposited something in our hearts. But this is what I felt came to me. But for many of us, maybe it's a hidden or a forgotten treasure. It's like the field, but nobody knows there's anything there. And I just thought the three sort of areas. You know, it can get tainted through sin and compromise. It's a precious treasure the Lord's given us. My main talk is going to be looking at what this treasure is. But it can be tainted through sin and compromise. Or maybe it's lost its shine through neglect. And I was thinking, what could that mean, Lord? And I was thinking, well, the treasure's always there, but it's shone, it's polished as we have a relationship with God, as we pray, as we worship, as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I was just telling somebody the other day, you know, normally I'm quite a disciplined sort of guy, but just recently I've been finding it hard to be as disciplined as I feel I need to be in my walk with God, in just giving time to read the Word or read more of the Word or to pray. And if we, through neglect, don't keep that connection.
I was thinking also, we can do the physical stuff on the outside, but sometimes it's just like soaking in the presence of God. And I find that really useful, just to listen to Christian worship and music and just sit in his presence. Not all the time, because it's a very passive activity. But there are times when that is so special and important that we just allow the Spirit of God, the words of truth, just to flow over us. Other times we need to connect and declare and step out and speak out the truth of God too. So some of us, maybe the treasure has lost its shine. And for others of us, I was feeling maybe under the weight of circumstances and all the worries or busyness of life, it's just got buried too deep. And the Lord wants that treasure to be released. The treasure's not lost. It's just become a little bit irrelevant because we're not in touch with it and nobody knows it's there. But we have a treasure to share, all of us. And so I want to encourage, let's find it. Let's polish it up. Let's let it spill out. So what is this treasure? Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Inga. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, John. So what is this treasure? Well, somebody else, thank you. What is this treasure? I just want to throw out some possibilities and wrap it up in the end. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now that's treasure. His presence always residing in us. What a promise. Jesus said, it's good that I go. Disciples said, no, we want you to stay. He said, no, it's good that I go. So if I go, he'll come. And he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. Paul says, you know, this amazing revelation for Gentiles, Christ in us too, the hope of glory. This is treasure to keep hold of. God himself residing in each one of us. Can you believe that? In these little earthen clay jars. The power, the anointing, the Spirit of Jesus. And through our broken lives sometimes, he leaks out and touches others. Or maybe, and we need to be more intentional, we just let his life out and we let that overflow out in our workplaces or wherever we might be. And his presence touches others' lives, bringing peace, bringing joy. Somebody was around at Jackie's the other day and she said they were pretty miserable lot at work. And when they come in happy, they wonder what I've got to be so happy about. Joy of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let it infect the workplaces which are miserable and let his life run out too. What an amazing treasure, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Or maybe it's the truth, the knowledge. A light has shone into our hearts. We've received revelation. We read earlier, didn't we? Satan has blinded the eyes of the world, but our eyes have been opened. What a treasure. Jesus has come to save. It's not works, it's not religion, it's just simple faith in Jesus, our Savior. And if we believe, we're saved. That needs a big amen. It's as simple as that. I've got a neighbor, he's much cleverer than I am, very well read. He thinks I've read all these books. I haven't read them. All these theological and other sort of books. He's an ex-Catholic, but now he's a proud humanist and an atheist. And he comes up with all these really clever arguments about why God doesn't exist. I don't even understand some of them. About the state of mankind. You know, just like conversation we have. I take him a few chicken's eggs, and this is what we do. Have a glass of wine and talk about these things. The end of the world. And he must get so frustrated with me, although he seems to quite like me, but he must get so frustrated with me because I can't argue at his level. He's clever, and I'm not. But I say, but Keith, I know God exists. I know he created this world. Oh, you don't believe in just 6,000 years, do you? I say, I don't know. It might be 6,000 years old. It might be millions of years old. I don't know. But I know he created it. And so we go on, and he says, well, what about, you know, what about the population? What about, you know, we're going to run out of space, we're going to run out of this, that, and the other. I say, but that's all in God's hands. I've got trust that the Alpha and the Omega, he who started it is going to finish it. This age is coming to an end. Do you really believe that? So of course I believe it. This age can't go on forever. Jesus is going to come back one day, Keith. And Jesus is going to be king, and every knee is going to bow. And we have these sort of conversations. And he said, you're just trying to convert me, aren't you? And I said, well, just telling you what I think. I can't prove it. I haven't got the books like you've got. And he said, we need knowledge. We need this, that, and the other. But I've got a treasure, and it's called faith. It's called truth in my heart. And with all his clever thinking, I hope he doesn't listen to this, with all his clever thinking, he can't help me, persuade me to change my mind. Because it's not operating from up there. The treasure isn't in my mind. The treasure is in my heart. What amazing treasure. Each one has got truth revealed. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Could go on a little bit more, but we won't. I can't prove it. And I know all the religious rituals that he used to talk, he still talks about, and things that we ought to be doing. And all the stuff which, from his Catholic background, won't save him. It didn't save him, and it won't save us. Whether it's Catholic or Protestant rituals, it won't save us. The truth is it's faith, and it's faith in Jesus, and he's put that incredible treasure in each of our hearts. Hallelujah. This is what Romans 10 says. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. That is truth. Polish it up. Keep hold of it. Remind yourselves about it. Precious treasure for us to share. The truth has come into our hearts. Amen. Or, another thought here. Maybe this treasure, a vision, a seed, a call put into our hearts. I remember after being a Christian for a few years, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Before that time, so much stuff didn't make a lot of sense. Certainly worship didn't mean anything at all. They were just songs. But after that experience of the Holy Spirit, one of the things which opened up to me was a clearer understanding of the kingdom of God. And it was like, it was June, for those who were around in those days, the Dale's Bible Weeks and the beginning, earlier days of the charismatic movement. And all of a sudden there was understanding about what? This kingdom, it's for now. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for heaven. It's actually for now. A light went on in my heart. I began to get really, really excited that God has come for us now. A seed of hope was sown into my heart, and it was exciting. And I began to get excited about this kingdom, which Jesus talked more about than anything else. The reign of God impacting our lives, impacting the nations of the world even now. And then a little bit later on, the church became not just a fascination, the church, there's revelation about the church. And, you know, in Ephesians, Paul says, for example, the wisdom of God is displayed and demonstrated through the church. I mean, what an incredible call. Jars of clay like you and me, and yet treasure, wisdom, heart, purpose, love of God expressed through the people of God. And I began to see the importance of people in relationship and fellowship together, but with a purpose, with an agenda. God's purpose, the kingdom. And yet he put us together as family to love, to care, and to do what church is supposed to be doing. A seed was sown in my heart. A people redeemed for purpose. There wasn't any other plan. There's no plan B. We're plan A. Did you know that? There is no other plan up God's sleeve. It's the people of God bringing in the kingdom of God and bringing back Jesus at the appointed time. And then I began to meet others and began to have this heart for revival and believe that what we're experiencing, there's got to be more. I had the opportunity to go to a number of different places. I mean, there was some in our country. Sunderland was amazing a few years ago. But Toronto and Pensacola and Colombia latterly and Argentina, I began to see revival, began to see... Actually, Jim helped me the other day. I just switched on the God Channel for the first time for a while, and there's another revival been happening for quite a few months by the look of it, in Florida somewhere or near Florida. But began to see God doing much more than what we'd experienced. And a seed of hope was sown in my heart. That's treasure. Lots of Christians are just hanging on, waiting for God to come back to take them out of this horrible mess that we're in. But I believe God's got a plan. I believe it's glorious. I believe the church is part of that plan. I believe revival is part of that plan. I believe there's hope which we can bring because we're not all just dependent on the world's perspective, but we see God's perspective. And a hope has been sown in our hearts. In this time, age and time, don't lose hope. Lots of people out there without hope, don't lose hope. Take hope into your offices. Take hope into your families, especially non-Christian families. Take hope wherever you are, because there's a people out there without hope. But God's put hope in our hearts. Hallelujah. 10 minutes left. Awe, and this is the fourth area. And I think maybe we could sum all the other three areas up into this. That treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Christ in us, his presence. It's his revelation. We're saved by grace. It's a seed, a deposit of the Holy Spirit, believing and longing for more. But it's the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God. This is what Romans says, Romans 1 verse 15. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel to you, who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. That is a treasure which we carry in our hearts. Amen. We've got this hope in our hearts. We shouldn't be ashamed. Just a few thoughts. The gospel, it has power to save everyone. By this gospel, Paul says, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Wherever we go, we can proclaim that. If you believe, you can be saved. It's for everyone. It's for the rich and it's for the poor. It's for the powerful and it's for the weak. It's for the young and it's for the old. It's for the drunk and it's for the sober. Don't exclude anyone. The gospel is for everyone. And we have this treasure to share with others, to everybody that we come in touch with. Sure, Jesus says some will find it hard to respond. They think they've got all that they need. They don't need God. We need to pray because the gospel is for them too. But there's others which will be much more open to the gospel because there's needs which they're aware of in their life. And Jesus can meet them where they are and meet their needs too. The gospel, number two, is... I think we're on a little bit here, Andy, please. The gospel, number two, is good news for everyone. Jesus, it's good news. Jesus didn't come to judge. Jesus didn't come to condemn. Jesus came to save. He came to heal. He came to set free. And so should we. The church too often is known for what we're against rather than what we're for. But Jesus came to bring good news, to tell people what we were for, and he demonstrated good news. That's our role, brothers and sisters. That's our role. We are good news. Good news for everyone. We might not agree with everybody. If you're out in street pastors, sometime you get some interesting conversations with all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life. And they know as Christians, we would not be agreeing with what they're doing. And they often ask this, what do you agree with this? Do you agree with how we're living and this, that, and the other? And we can't agree, but we say, but that's not for us to judge. We're just here to serve. We're just here to be good news. We're just here to help. Whether we agree or not is irrelevant. And there's a place there where the church needs to be so full of grace Now, of course, Jesus doesn't want people to stay where they are. He wants to give them better life. But from our point of view, we just need to be good news and let people know that God loves them and we love them and we want to bless them as much as we can do. I've touched on this already. We have words of hope because of the gospel. If in doubt, look at the end of the book. Jesus wins. It doesn't all get finished when the sun burns out or whatever it might be. Jesus wins at the end of the day. We have words of hope. He's already won. The cross and the resurrection, they prove that he's won. And I am exercised. We need to see more demonstration of the power of God, showing that Jesus has won. I believe we do need to see more. We should be expecting to see more in our lives here. But wherever we go, we should be exuding hope and joy and peace, whatever befalls us, because we have this treasure. And some of you might be feeling a little bit convicted or condemned just by what I'm saying. You might feel, it doesn't feel like that. We've got to just dig this out again. And we want to help you dig this out, polish it up, get this treasure again, which will be the source of overflow for you. Because we are called to bring hope to a world which has lost hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just love that song we sang, second one probably. All things work together for good to those that love God. That doesn't mean to say that everything that happens is God's plan and purpose for us. Because some of it's the devil, some of it's us, but God is amazing because he can turn all things for good. That's why we have a hope. That's why we have hope. He can turn it around. Whatever we're going through, whatever difficult situation we're facing, he can turn it around and bring good out of it. That's the redemptive God that we have. Lastly, the gospel is good news now and forever. Salvation is for now. Eternal life goes on forever. Hallelujah. God, Jesus has died to save us from wrath and judgment. Hallelujah. Without the death of Jesus, we would be condemned to hell. But he's come into our lives. He saved us for eternity. But it's for now too. And the effects of the past and the lifestyles which we used to live and the hurts which come upon us now, Jesus has come to heal and deliver and save us from too. And this is the good news of the kingdom. This is the good news that he's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to heal those who are rejected. He's come to heal those who've had a difficult family background and maybe an awful family background, maybe not even a family background, but he's come to redeem and to change and to be good news. Salvation isn't just when we die. Salvation is now. And that's why it's good news for us now. And we should be able to meet people's felt needs because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Salvation is now. This is good news. This is the treasure which is in our hearts, which he's given us to share. Last week, we looked at Jesus' commission. Just come up there, please, Andy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I believe it's our commission too, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's God's plan for us. That is the treasure which we have in our hearts to take out to a world. And can I just close with this last thought? The gospel is our universal call. The gospel is what unites us. It should definitely unite us here at LifeSpring, but it unites LifeSpring with other churches across the town and the country. It's the gospel. We may have different ways of doing church, this, that, and the other, but the gospel, the good news of Jesus is what holds us together, or should hold us together, and should cause us to flow together. We may all have unique and different and distinct specific callings. Maybe some to teach. Maybe some to run a business. Maybe some to be involved in government. Maybe some to care for the poor. Maybe some to foster. Maybe some to reach out to different ways with families that need help, etc., etc. But the proclamation, demonstration of the good news of Jesus is all of our responsibility. Isn't that right? Please say yes. This is what unites us. This is the treasure which we have to share. The gospel is good news in words. And some of us are good with words. In works, others of us are better at just doing good stuff. In wonders, we all want to be good at wonders. And maybe we'll see more healing this year and more miracles, more works of God confirming the word. But it's this amazing privilege. It's this amazing responsibility that we all have because it's His anointing in each one of us to bring and to be good news wherever we go. So by grace, we've received this treasure, a person, the Holy Spirit, an assurance, a hope. All right, Kim. A gospel that has power to change all who believe. And my prayer is that as treasure carriers, we'll be good news. On Sundays, in ourselves, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, everywhere we go, because we have a treasure in clay vessels which needs to leak out, maybe intentionally needs to be shared out that others might experience and enjoy and benefit from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing. I don't know what we're going to sing, Rob, but something good? Sounds good? We're going to sing, Lord, You Have My Heart. Oh, Martin Smith, the old one. Yeah, that sounds good. Martin Smith's going to be at Bogota with us, actually, which is speaking and leading worship. I was thinking, you know, just as we're having our last song here, I could invite people to come for prayer, and if you want prayer, by all means, we would be very, very happy to pray. But I'm aware, and even just looking at some of you, I can see that what I'm saying isn't ringing true. And maybe that's because the stuff come in, which has just buried that treasure a little bit. And that's not a blame thing. I'm not blaming, I'm not judging. But if you feel that you really would like somebody to come alongside and just to stand with you, not just for now, I just feel God wants to help you unearth some of this treasure. Maybe some of us just need to polish it up. I talked about sin and compromise. I was challenged a few months ago when an Anglican pastor was talking about he feels the Holy Spirit is just bringing sin to the surface, and you know, my thinking was, okay, yeah, what, immorality, greed, you know, bad stuff, which murder, bad stuff, which we'd all connect with. But then he began to say, sins of insignificance, of low self-esteem, sins of fear in our lives. And I began to think, we don't always think of these things as sin. We just think of it as, well, that's me, that's what I'm living under. Jesus wants to bring healing. He doesn't want us to be insignificant. He doesn't want us to live rejected for the rest of our time. He wants to bring acceptance into our lives so we can minister acceptance to others. And I believe God just wants to, at the beginning of this year, touch our hearts. And through this year, interested what Inga was saying there, I think, yeah, there's much healing. There's much healing the Lord wants to release. But we need to recognize our need for it. And it's some of these things which have prevented treasure just from leaking out and flowing out as much as it could do anyhow. And so I just wonder whether we could all stand together as we sing this song. And let's just ask the Lord, let's ask the Holy Spirit just begin to help us shine that treasure, dig it out again, that it might overflow. And if you want specific prayer, Jackie and myself and others will be very willing to pray for you at the end of this song. But let's just ask God to come and help us with where we are. In His name, amen.
Give him an opportunity, if you like. As Lord, I want to thank you that we have this treasure. We have you, we have hope, we have truth, we have this gospel. And for many of us, Lord, it feels like the treasure is deeper than it needs to be. And Holy Spirit, I want to ask you now just to come and wash over this congregation.
And where there's hope has gone, put hope.